Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania.
Keystone of democracy.
I love your valleys and hills. I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
Again, we present Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy, an historical dramatization of the part our great state of Pennsylvania plays in the life and success of these 48 United States. This program is prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense in order to acquaint you better with the glorious history of our great Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be home, sweet home to me, Pennsylvania, my home.
Daniel Boone,
Wilderness Scout,
Indian Fighter.
History has recorded Daniel Boone as America's greatest woodsman and pioneer in the settlement of the West. His skill, daring, courage, and leadership in guiding frontier families along his wilderness road into Kentucky have immortalized his name in the annals of the nation. But few people realize that it was in Pennsylvania, in Berks County, near the present city of Reading, that Daniel Boone received the education that was to fit him for the life he was to live. Born in 1734, young Daniel, as he grew up, would often go to a stone in the fireplace of the family's humble cabin.
Daniel?
Yes, Ma?
What are you doing at the fireplace?
Just measuring, Ma.
And you'll be a-getting burned as well if you don't stand away. Ever since your father made that promise, you've been a-measuring yourself every day.
But look at, Ma, I'm right up to that stone. I reckon I'm big enough now. That's the stone Pa said would show when I'm big enough to get a rifle. You see, Ma? Look.
I see, son. Now get away from that fireplace. Your father will be home soon and wanting his victuals ready. I declare, that's a him coming up the trail now.
Do you think he's noticed, Ma? Do you think he's noticed I'm big enough to carry a rifle? Do you, Ma?
Daniel, there's wood to be fetched for the fire.
Yes, Ma, I'll go out and get some for you.
The miller's from Oley wish you the best of health, Sally.
Where's Daniel? I brung him something.
You haven't gone and brung him a rifle, have you, Squire?
Ah, Sally, Daniel's getting nigh on to 12 years. Time he should be knowing how to protect himself.
Appears to me he should be taught some book learning first.
Ah, let the girls do the spelling. Daniel will do the shooting. I'll take him out right after I've had my victuals and learn him a little. I don't want to say that Boone can't prime a rifle. Ah, missed again, Daniel. Here, let me show you once more. You can see what you're doing wrong. Now, what do I do first?
Rest the butt of the rifle on the ground and pour powder in the barrel from the horn.
And it's done careful-like, because your powder's likely to run out before you know it. Then what?
Then you put the ball on the patch cloth and push it down the barrel with the ramrod.
Right! Yeah, it's a good head you have on your shoulders, son. Just like all the Boones. Now watch how to set your rifle. You get it good and firm again your shoulder. Aim at your target. Hold your breath for a second and keep your gun steady. Then squeeze the trigger. Now don't pull. Squeeze the trigger.
Many more shots were to echo through the Pennsylvania hills after that first lesson. Young Daniel Boone was quick and eager to learn. Soon he became an unerring marksman.
Being this fancy powder horn with genuine silver trimmings. Anybody that can hold a gun can enter, even the women folk. The one that gets the closest to the knot on yonder tree gets the prize. Now, who's going to be the first to try? Wait a minute. Hold up there. Can't everybody try it once, you know? Get in line. Now, Bill Jennings, you're first. Take aim at that tree. It's only about 150 yards or so. You ready?
Aye.
Then let's see you try and take the prize. One inch from the knot! Next, Jim Pete, take your name, Jim.
A half inch away from Bill Timmy.
Hey, where are you pushing, Sonny?
Watch out, you don't be tipping over your gun barrel, youngin.
Where are you be going, eh?
I'm entering the shooting contest. That's where I be going.
Whose boy be?
Squire Boone.
Well, then go home and have him saw off a piece of that rifle of yarn so she can handle it.
Let the young nipper get ahead of you, John. Come on. We'll all have a good laugh. Come on, Sonny. Step right up here in front.
All right, then, Dennis. Let's see what you can do, boy. One through the center of the gun. My goodness, look at that.
Not only did Daniel Boone have an eye for good shooting, but being plied to the blacksmith's trade, he also possessed considerable skill in the maintaining and repairing of rifles. Young Boone's Uncle Jim, as the frontiersman in his later years testified, contributed much to his knowledge of woodcraft. Their journeys together in the Pennsylvania woods were expeditions of training.
Quick, Daniel. Over this way. Follow me.
What's the matter, Uncle Jim? Something wrong?
Just follow me, Daniel. You see, boy, you weren't sharp on the lookout that time. You didn't see it.
See what, Uncle Jim?
Oh, that black bar down there. See?
Yep. I can now.
Well, we were traveling with the wind behind us. That bar was picking up a scent. She would have been on us in no time. It ain't easy to tangle with a hungry bar that just come out of her winter sleep.
But, Uncle Jim, we got two rifles. Would have been no job at all to bring her down.
We've got all the rations we can carry now, Daniel. What'd we do with her if we did kill that bar?
Well, I don't rightly know, Uncle Jim. I reckon we'd just kill her.
Remember this, Sonny. I learned it once from an Indian. Don't kill more game than you can eat, because you'll be taking meat from somebody else's mouth. It's a God-fearing man that don't take more than he needs. Remember that, Daniel.
Young Boone's boyhood in the hills of Berks County were crammed with lessons such as these. It was these teachings that were to make him into a great wilderness scout. In Daniel's 16th year, his father came home one day and said,
"Say, our children are well nigh grown up now. I've been hearing good reports about the land farther south and west, down in Virginia and Carolina. Hunting fishing's good, plenty of green fields for grazing the herd, and good bottom land for planting. I think maybe we ought to be packing up and getting on. Get our way."
In April 1750, arrangements for departure were concluded and wagons loaded for the long journey. A new life of exciting adventures was to open for Daniel Boone. A few years later, he was to serve in the ill-fated Braddock expedition. And then there was to come a time when his leadership was to guide safely families of settlers over the wilderness road into the broad, fertile lands of Kentucky. And for generations, the siege of Boonesboro was to be recounted. It was in winter at a salt lick outside the fort he had established that four Shawnee warriors captured the famous Scott after a desperate struggle. He was taken to the tribal chief, Blackfish, who said,
"Oh, great white hunter now captive. Well, without leader, your people be my captives too. Tomorrow, make war on fort."
"No, great chief Blackfish. I have better plan. We do not want war with your tribe. Listen words of wisdom I speak."
The great white hunter turned eloquent as he stood in the midst of the savage council that was to give the tomahawk vote of life or death for the unsuspecting camp. Fantastic as it sounds, the war party agreed to leave Boonesboro until the spring, when Boone promised he would arrange a peaceable moving of the settlers further north, where they might live as adopted Shawnees. For the present, the Indians returned to their village, where amid much ceremony...
"Silence, O Shawnee brave, silence! Great Manitou, put courage, hearts of braves, and fear, hearts of enemies. We have captured great white leader. When cold snows leave, we go again, make captives his people. White warrior, I make son. He be Sheltoi, the big turtle.
The Indians washed away his white blood in the river, pulled out half his hair, and painted him with strange symbols that meant that Daniel Boone was the adopted son of Chief Blackfish. But one day he made the dash for freedom. Traveling 160 miles in 4 days and nights with the Shawnee pack one jump behind, he at last came into Boonesboro.
How'd you do it, Daniel?
Where were you?
We give you up for dead.
First fetch me some victuals. I had but one meal the 4 days I was a traveling.
Martha, fetch the pot from the cabin. Hurry!
Men! Men! We gotta get the fort patched up tight. Shawnees are on the war path, and there's a whole mess of them. They'll be here any day now. We don't have much time.
No, we don't have much time, eh? Yeah, we must hurry.
We'll start tomorrow.
Tomorrow? We'll begin today.
The settlers worked feverishly in preparation for the attack. Finally, the war party of over 400 Indians arrived, surrounding the clearing of the Boonesboro stockade, which was defended by less than 50 men and boys. After many useless parleys, the Indians, in all their fury, attacked.
Keep up your fire, men! You women, keep the rifles loaded!
At one time during the siege, a sniper from a distant tree began sending bullets inside the fort. He had to be stopped. Boone lifted his rifle and drew a bead on the sniper some 200 yards away. His early lessons in Pennsylvania must have been with him then.
Get a good and firm against your shoulder, Daniel. Aim at your target and squeeze the trigger. No pull. Squeeze the trigger.
You got him, Daniel! Right through the head!
Finally, after 10 days of vain efforts to capture the fort, the Indians withdrew as silently as they had arrived. Great was the rejoicing within Boonesboro that night.
Hooray! Everybody, 3 cheers for Daniel Boone!
Hip, hip, hooray!
Hip, hip, hooray!
Hip, hip, hooray!
From his boyhood training in Pennsylvania was to come a great American, Daniel Boone.
The love of liberty, the steadfast courage, the willingness to sacrifice for the common good, which characterized Daniel Boone, still survive in the nation he helped to establish. Today, in a war against the forces of evil and brutality, the people of this great commonwealth are opening up another wilderness trail to a world of justice, decency, and human freedom. Today is in the past. That is the spirit that has made Pennsylvania keystone of democracy.
Ah, Pennsylvania, you the land that I adore. I love your valleys and hills, I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
You have just heard another in a series of broadcasts, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy, prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission, in cooperation with the State Council of Defense. Get into this fight by saving tin cans, rubber, gasoline, and other vital war materials. Buy war bonds and stamps. Do your part for victory. Listen next week for another chapter in the history of our great commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter